laugh. We're going to get to know each other. That's what we want to do. That's what we want to be a part of. And so, but tonight I'm super excited about this teaching. It's one of my absolute favorite teachings for Grow Track 1, and I'm super excited about what God will use this teaching to do in and through your life, not just tonight, but throughout this whole semester. And I want to recap real quickly on last week. You guys had Pastor Dan. I know we love Pastor Dan. So fun and funny and goofy and yet such an amazing anointed man of God. But what was last week's teaching all about? What was week one? Shout it out. Salvation and water baptism. Yes. And I love that week one is not just the surface level of salvation, but you guys really dug deep into some scriptures in Hebrews and Colossians about who Jesus really is and that he bridges that gap, not just so we can go to heaven, but also he bridges that gap so that we can have fellowship with God right here on earth, right? That we can have that personal relationship with God while we're standing here on the ground in earth. And so that's what week one was all about in water baptism. And I know Dan did a phenomenal job in the illustration on the board. Tonight we're gonna take it a step deeper. Tonight we're gonna take it a level deeper. Remember last week I talked about Grow One is laying that foundation. Each week is like a new level of concrete in your foundation. And so tonight we're gonna take it a step further. We're gonna lay another level on that foundation. If you want to go ahead and pull out your manuals and flip it to week two, you can see that the title is Protecting Your Seeds. Protecting Your Seeds. And that might sound weird and awkward, and we don't understand what that means yet, but when you leave here tonight, you will. You absolutely will. And I'm telling you guys, my prayer and my hope is that if you choose to, you can apply what you're going to learn here tonight. You can apply the truth because we're pulling it straight from the Word of God. And what Jesus says, and we're going to go over a neat story that Jesus tells, a parable. But you can pull this and not just use it throughout the semester of Grow Track, but use it your entire life as you follow Christ, as you grow closer to him. You're going to use the truths from this teaching in week two to apply to your life. And that's why I'm super excited, because it doesn't matter if you're a new baby Christian or you're a seasoned Christian in the Lord. This is something you can continually apply to take next steps and grow. So protecting your seeds, we're going to jump right into it here. So you'll see the story, the parable of the sower. Does anyone know what a parable is? A story, yeah. It's just a story, a fancy word for story. But we're going to read about the parable of the sower, and this is Jesus telling this story in Matthew 13, 1 through 9 and 18 through 23. If you want to follow along, grab a pen, underline some stuff. It says, that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it. While all the people stood on the shore, then he told them many things in parables or stories, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. He was scattering the seed. Some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, but the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil. Everyone say good soil. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear. So that's a little story that Jesus told that actually applies to our lives as Christ followers and as Christians, that tonight we're going to unpack and we're really going to dissect this story and what it means. And there are three specific things that Jesus brought up in the story. We had a farmer, we had some seeds that were being sown, and we had soil, right? Who is the farmer in the story? God? Yes. God is the farmer. What was the farmer doing? What does it say he was doing? Scattering what? Seeds. He's sowing seeds. He's walking around and he's sowing seeds. He's throwing seeds on the soil. So God is the farmer, and he's sowing seed. He's scattering seed. It's important for you, everyone in here tonight, to understand God is that farmer in your life today. God is the one who scatters seed in our hearts and in our lives. God's intention in doing that, he's the master gardener of our life. He's that master farmer. His intention is not just to scatter seed. Who gardens? Who gardens in here? Nobody? A few of you? Do you plant seed just to plant seed? No. What do you expect to see? You want to see something grow. You don't plant an orange seed and just expect nothing to happen. You want to see an orange tree grow. You eventually want to pick some oranges off that dang thing and eat them, right? Well, God's the same way. He's the master gardener, the farmer. He's scattering seed in your life and your heart, expecting it to take root in the soil. And then what? To spring up out of that seed, out of that soil, and begin to grow and produce fruit. Well, what kind of fruit, Taylor? What does that look like? Well, what's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, peace, patience, joy, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit that God wants to harvest in your life by these seeds that he's planting. Strength, faith, hope, perseverance, integrity, character, honesty. Those are the fruit, the abundant that he wants to see spring up in your life. But guess what? It starts with a seed. You're not born that way. You don't just give your heart to the Lord and now all of a sudden you're just producing all this good fruit out all over the place. It starts with the seeds that he plants. So what I want to look at tonight before we dig into it even more is I want to look at what the seeds represent, what those things could be, and also what the soil represents, because it's important that you understand those two things, because those are the three main things that Jesus brings up in this story, is the farmer scattering the seeds, and the soils. And there's different types of soil that Jesus talks about, and we're going to look at each one of those tonight. And I believe the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you. But right now, so what do the seeds represent? And in your notes, you can write this down. The first thing is anything God plants in you to do. Anything God plants in you to do. I love to teach the Word of God. I love doing what I'm doing right now. I love being able to help people understand the Word and apply it to their lives and watching them when the Holy Spirit just illuminates something and now they walk in greater truth and greater freedom and greater confidence in their relationship with God. I love that. Why? Because God planted that in me to do. I love leading Next Steps Ministries. I love helping lead the teams and the coaches that put these things together that help you guys to see you grow. I love seeing those of you sitting in these seats stepping into those leadership positions. Why? Because I love leading. I love being a part of it. I love making a difference. Why? Because God put that in me to do. He's put special things in you too. He's put gifts in you too. He's put skills in you too. He's put talents and planted seeds in you too. Not just me, not just the staff, not just the pastors, each and every one of you have something God has planted on the inside of you that he's called you to do. Number two, anything God speaks to you. Anything God speaks to you. Have you ever been having a bad day and you get in the car and you just turn on the Christian station? I don't even know what it's called. But then like a song plays and all of a sudden now that worship song speaks to you in a way. And now all of a sudden you have a hope in your heart that you didn't have or an encouragement in your heart that you didn't have before. And it's lifted you, it's lifted your attitude and your mood a little bit. And that after you heard that song, why? Because that's God speaking to you. That's God encouraging you. Or this happens too when you read God's word. God will speak to you through his word. It's alive and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It's not some old ancient book. He will speak to you through his word if you open it up and read it. I promise you he will. And we're pulling these truths out of his word tonight. But that's how God speaks to you. Anything, maybe in a Sunday sermon, you feel like, gosh, Pastor Jeremy is just speaking right to me. Everything he says, that's something I'm dealing with. Why? Because that's God speaking to you. That's God planting seed in your heart. That's God getting your attention. That's God tugging on you, trying to say something to you. So anything God plants in you, anything God speaks to you. Number three, anything God does in or through you. So maybe last week we talked about salvation and water baptism. Maybe at the end of the service, at the end of the class, you raised your hand and you dedicated your life to the Lord, or maybe you rededicated your life. That's something God is doing in you. That's something new the Lord is doing in you. Maybe you're a dream teamer. And man, when you get a serve in Starting Point or in Kids, or those of you that serve on this Grow Track team, you just feel so fulfilled. And you get a joy by being a part, by being the hands and feet of Jesus. That's something God is doing through you, because now you're tapping into what he's put in you and you're using it to help others. But that's still him planting seed as you're activating what he's already done through you to help others. So anything God does in or through you. And lastly, number four, a seed can represent anything God calls you to do or change. Anything God calls you to do or change. And I think one of the best examples of this is just the vision that God gave Pastor Jeremy for this church, to be a community destination, to have community destinations where anyone can find and follow Jesus. Pastor Jeremy is called to be the lead pastor of this church and push us forward towards that vision from God. He's called to that. He's called to that. But each and every one of you are also called to do something for God. And we're going to talk about that in future weeks, just about spiritual gifts and serve and all of that kind of stuff. We're gonna tap into that. But you need to know you are called to do something for God. You're not just called to wake up, be a mom or a dad, go to work, come home, eat, go to bed, watch some Netflix, do it all over again. You are called to make an impact on this world for God in some form or fashion. And you may say, well, I don't know if I could be a world changer. I bet you could change your world if you wanted to, though. I really believe that. You are called to do something for the Lord. Those are what the seeds represent. Now let's talk about what the soil represents. The soil, your heart is the soil. Your heart is the soil. Where God's seeds are planted. And this is why this is so important. Because we all know something, seeds can't grow when the soil's not right. You know? And your heart is that soil. And I love what David says in Psalm 139. He says, "Search me thoroughly, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there is any wicked or hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." What is he saying? He's saying, search my soil, God. Search the soil of my heart. If there's anything in my soil, God, that's preventing me from growing, that's preventing me from getting closer to you, that's preventing me from living out your calling on my life, Lord, search me and know those things and lead me in the way everlasting so I can continue to grow. Because guess what? No one's perfect. I'm not perfect. We all make mistakes. Our soil gets weeds in it sometimes. Our soil gets rocks in it sometimes. We're going to talk about that. But when you stay connected to the vine, God can take care of all of that. If you'll have this heart like David has, a heart of surrender, a heart of yieldedness to the Lord. And so before we go any further in tonight's teaching, I just want to pray over you guys. And I want to pray that scripture that we would be a Grow Track One class that just has that open, teachable heart, that heart that says, search me, God, and know me. Know everything in me. Know the things that others don't know, and lead me in the way everlasting. Can we just pray that tonight? Father God, thank you so much, Lord, that we're able to be here. You're a faithful God. I read that this morning in your word, Jesus, says your faithfulness is all around you, and it's an essential part of who you are. You are faithful. And so I know you're going to be faithful to show up tonight and speak to your people and to speak to every heart. So, oh God, right now, Lord, we just open ourselves up and we say, search us, Lord. Like David, search us thoroughly. Search the soil of our heart right now, Jesus, and speak to us. God, right now we lay down this week. We lay down this day. We lay down any frustrations or distractions or worries or fears that may try to distract us from seeing and hearing you tonight. God, we put those things aside and we choose to focus on you and your agenda and what you're going to do in this place tonight. God, give us eyes to see you more clearly. Give every person at the sound of my voice ears to hear your voice, Jesus. And oh Lord, would you give us hearts to receive your truth tonight and what you may say to each and every person. I pray every person would walk out from here tonight not only encouraged, but knowing and believing and anchoring themselves in the fact that you have spoken to them tonight and they're taking that seed with them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, raise your hand. Raise your hand if you don't want to grow. She goes, oh, yeah, I hope I don't see any hands. I say, if you don't want to grow, you're kind of in the wrong place because this is what? Grow track. It's grow track. It's not stuck track or stalled track or let's stay the same track. It's grow track. So we're going to grow in here. We want you to grow. We want you to tap in and apply what you're being taught, apply what you're learning, because it's the truth of God's word. And I promise you, if you do, you will grow. So right now, we talked about the farmer who is God. We went over what the seeds represent, and we talked about your heart is the soil. So since this is grow track, we want to go over the three keys that ensure, say ensure. Ensure, that means it makes it a sure thing. Three keys that ensure spiritual growth happens. Three keys, three things we're gonna go over about this to ensure that your spiritual growth continues to happen. But who's responsible for applying these three things? You are, yeah. You are. You'll be responsible for what you're learning in here tonight. And if you want to grow, apply these things and you will. You absolutely will. So number one, be attentive to the condition of the soil in your heart. Be attentive. Know it. Be completely aware. Be attentive to the condition of the soil in your heart. It's important to ensure your seeds are planted in the right soil. The soil has, get this, listen, the soil, so it's your heart, the soil has the power to help grow the seed or help kill the seed. If I could do that cool rewind thing that Pastor Jeremy does, I would do it, but I can't. I'm not even going to try. I thought about it for a second and I'd change my mind. Listen, though. The soil has the power to grow what God is doing in you. Your heart and your response, your heart's response to God has the power to grow what he's doing in you right now or to kill it. That's powerful. The way you respond to what God is doing in your life and what he's doing in the soil of your heart has the power to flourish your roots of faith to go down deep for an evergreen tree to pop up out of that soil and you begin producing some beautiful fruit for the Lord, or it has the power to wither and wilt and diminish and kill what God really wants to do in and through you. And it's your choice, because we have free will and God doesn't make us choose to grow. It's our choice. So be attentive. When the seeds are not planted in the right soil, they are more easily and quickly destroyed or devoured by the enemy. So right now we're going to go over four types of soil because in that story, Jesus brought up, it said the farmer was scattering the seed. He was sowing the seed, and then he gave some types of soil that the seed fell on and what happened as a result of that. So we're going to dig into that right now, these four types of soil that Jesus talked about. The first one was the path, and the birds came and ate it up. They came and snatched away all the seeds. I want to read this portion of the scripture real quick. It says, so listen then to what the parable of the sower means. So he told this story, and then his disciples were basically like, Lord, what does this mean? And he said, okay, sit down, I'm going to tell you. This is what this means. He said, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. And I love what it says in the Message version. It says, study this story of the farmer planting seed. When anyone hears the news of the kingdom and doesn't take it in, you just kind of leave it sitting there. Doesn't take it in. It just remains on the surface. So the evil one comes along and plucks it right out of that person's heart. This is the seed the farmer scatters on the road. And another translation says, when that person does not grasp or comprehend it. When you can't really see what God is actually doing in your life, when you're not quite sure what he's doing, or you're not really paying attention or focused on what the Lord is doing, so you're not really absorbing what he's trying to teach you or show you or what he's trying to do in your life. Would you plant a garden in the middle of a path? I hope you all know the answer to this question. I know not many of us are gardeners, but hey, would you try to plant a garden where there's a trail, where there's a hiking trail? Why? It wouldn't work. People walk on that path. I want to read you the definition of a path. A path is a way laid down for walking or made by continued treading. Don't be so busy in life. Don't be so distracted in life that your heart becomes like that hard path, because you're continuously treading on to the next thing. And you're not allowing yourself the space and time to absorb what God is really wanting to do in your life and through your life. Don't let your heart become like that hard path. When it's on to the next, on to the next, on to the next, on to the next job, the next drop off in the morning, the next kid pick up at school, the next bill to be paid, the next friend, this friend hangout to go to, the next event to do this, the next social media post, the next. You're continuously go, 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 go. But you're not taking a moment to stop and say, God, what Pastor Jeremy said on Sunday morning in that sermon, that really hit me somewhere in here. What are you trying to say to me, Lord? What are you trying to do in my life? Because if you don't do that, your heart will be like that path. It just becomes a little bit hard and dry, and it can't receive the seed because there's continual movement all the time. So that's the path. The next one is the rocky soil. The rocky soil. No depth of soil. The seed sprang up quickly, but was scorched quickly because there was no depth. And it says the seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. I want to read it again in the message. I love what the message says. It says, the seed cast in the gravel. This is the person who hears and instantly responds. They're instantly inspired, instantly emotionally engaged, instantly responds with enthusiasm. But there is no soil of character. And so when the emotions wear off and some difficulties arise, there's nothing to show for it. Why is the soil shallow with this one, though? Why is there no depth of soil? What else is mixed in with the soil? The rocks. It says it fell on not just soil, but it fell on soil and rocks. There's no room for the seeds, the roots, to go down deep because there's rocks in the way. And when we've got rocks in our heart, in the soil of our heart, that are in the way from God's seeds doing what they're trying to do, we can easily become scorched. by the sun, when the sun rises, when persecution comes, when rubber meets the road, if we don't have the condition of our heart right with what God wants to do and the root systems can't grow, because guess what? There's rocks in the way. I've got some rocks in the way of the soil. So your little sprouts get burned. That person's instantly inspired, instantly wants to jump in and be a part. And a month down the road, now they're no longer coming. Because they had some rocks in the way of the soil. The soil was shallow. They emotionally responded, but there was no depth there to hold on to persevere, to keep going. The third one, so we've got the path, the rocky soil. The third one is the thorny soil with the thorns. It says, choked by worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth, making it unfruitful. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. The person who hears the kingdom news, but weeds of worry and illusions about getting more and wanting everything under the sun strangle what was heard, and nothing comes of it. That's the word of God, you guys. That's so powerful, though, because worry would choke out anything. You have only, just like time, you have only so much energy to spend. And if you're spending your energy just constantly worrying, guess what? The seeds of faith that God is planting in your heart, that's going to choke those out. That's going to choke those out and hinder and stifle your growth. That's why I love what Matthew 6 says. Matthew 6 says, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. The people that don't know God, they worry about that stuff. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus says, don't worry. Don't worry about those things. Have faith in me. Trust in me. Because God's word says he's the provider of everything that you need. And he withholds no good thing from those that he loves. You've got to stand on that. That's how you get those roots to grow when worry starts to come. In Psalm 37:4, it says, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. As you're growing your relationship with Christ, as you're getting in the presence of God through prayer and worship and spending time with him in the word, he will align the desires of your heart with his. And you don't have to worry about those things or getting that bill paid or what your kid is going to do down the road or that relationship. God is going to align your heart and he's going to take care of those things as you walk in faith and trust in him and let the worries go. Let the worries go. Matthew 6, 20 says this. It says, store up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where, get this, where your treasure is, there your heart, your wishes, your desires, that on which your life centers will be also. Where your heart is, that's where your life is going to be centered. That's where your soil is going to be centered. What you're chasing, what you're running after, what you're worried about, what you're centering your thoughts around, that's where your soil is going to be centered too. And remember, the soil has the power to grow the seed or kill the seed. The last soil, the good soil. Can I get an amen? Woo! Those other three are tough. The good soil, for real though, the good soil. There is good news. Someone who not only hears, but understands what God is doing and saying about their lives and or the situation. So not just someone who hears the message on Sunday morning, but someone who hears it, applies it to their life, and is able to walk it out. And God speaks again, apply it again, and walk it out. The good soil. It says, but the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. I don't know about you guys, but like, if I could plant something and expect 60-fold or 100-fold of what I invested, that's a pretty good investment if you ask me. That's a pretty good investment. I love Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. It determines the course of your life. The condition of your heart and the condition of the soil will determine what's going to grow there. So we want to have some good soil. We want to have some good soil so the seeds that God is planting will take root and begin to grow. And you may be saying, well, I don't know if my soil is good. That's okay. Because who's the master gardener? Jesus is. So guess what? All we have to do is just say, God, I surrender my heart to you. I surrender the soil of my heart to you, whatever condition it's in. I promise you, if you're wanting more of Jesus and if you're wanting to go after him, he'll work all that other stuff out in your soil. You just keep chasing him and keep following him because he's the master gardener. We're not supposed to pull out the rocks in our soil. He's the one that will do that. Now, we do have a part, and we're going to talk about that here in a second. But so that's the first thing. That's the first key to ensure spiritual growth is be attentive to the condition of your soil. Know what's going on in your heart. Be attentive to that, aware, keen. Number two, identify what tends to devour and destroy your seeds. Identify what tends to devour and destroy your seeds. Right now at your tables, we're going to do a little group activity. I'm going to assign you guys a story to read, and then you're going to talk about it as a table. So I'm going to number you guys off. There's three different stories that we're going to review. And what we want you to do is read the story together and identify what tried to devour what God was doing in the life of that person. So we've got one, two, three. One, two, three. Destroy what God had, or the angel had said to Zechariah. Doubt, absolutely. So in this story, Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband, who is a priest basically in the temple. He's doing his job. He's in the church, basically a pastor in the church, and an angel shows up to him. They're super old, like Abraham was, but he's super old, and they've been wanting a child, and an angel shows up and literally is standing in front of him and says, your wife's going to get pregnant. You're going to have a child. And he responds and says, will this happen? How can I be sure that this will happen? How do I know this is going to happen? As if he doesn't have an angel standing in front of him telling him that this is going to happen. I don't know. If an angel showed up to me and spoke like that, I think I'd hopefully be pretty confident in what that angel was saying. But that doubt crept in. That doubt snuck in. Even in someone who was a seasoned, I mean, he worked in the church, guys. He was a priest doing his job. He was in the temple. And that doubt snuck in, and it can sneak in the same way today because the enemy will do anything to snatch that seed too. He'll do anything to rip that away because he doesn't want to see it grow and be the harvest that God wants it to be. And so he uses doubt. And sometimes when our prayers go unanswered, or sometimes when we're new to our walk, we think, did God really say that? The same words that the snake spoke to Eve. Did God really say? When things feel really rough and tough and I'm going through a storm, is the word of God, is that really true to my life? The Bible says that a man who doubts is like a wave of the sea. He's tossed and blown back and forth because if you're in doubt, you have nothing to hold on to provide strength. And that's why doubt can devour your seeds, because now you're unsure of what God is doing or what God has spoken, when you're supposed to say, no, God did speak. I believe in faith that that's what he said, and that's your anchor and your hope that you grab onto. So doubt. Who had the story number two from 2 Samuel about David and his wife, Michal? Who had that one? Yes. What was the trying to devour and destroy? Humiliation, discouragement. So basically, David is bringing the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem. That this is equivalent, even greater than winning the Super Bowl for your team. Like, it's like a big day. The Ark is coming back. The presence of God is coming back into Jerusalem. It's coming back into the city. David's dancing like a fool, like a crazy fool, dancing before the Lord in worship. And his wife is standing looking through the window. And when he walks in, and she begins to just disgrace him. Why would you do that? That's humiliating. She just begins to insult him for his act of worship to the Lord, to try to discourage him. And you got to be careful with this, because people in your life can try to condemn and reproach and insult what God is doing in you. And if you're not careful, that can become a pathway in your heart, where now you're allowing other people to snatch God's seed out of your heart because of the way that they looked at you when you said that God spoke that to you, or what God is wanting to do in and through you, or where you're wanting to get involved and serve. Or you're not wanting to do that anymore, or gossip around that circle of friends anymore. You're not wanting to go out and have those drinks anymore. You're not wanting to get involved with that anymore. And now all of a sudden they're disapproving of your lifestyle, but you're really just trying to walk out what God is doing in and through you. Discouragement. And lastly, the last story from Exodus with Moses. Who had that one? Amber, what would you say? Yes, so Moses was afraid. Fear. I think 5 times God said, hey, I've called you to be a mouthpiece. I've called you to go to Pharaoh. I'll tell you what to say. And I think it's 5 times Moses says, I can't because of this. He makes up excuses because he's afraid. He's afraid to approach Pharaoh. He's afraid of his own inabilities. He doesn't believe in himself, and he's afraid to do that. And God finally says, you know what? Moses gets to the point where he says, can you get someone else? Oh, dear Lord God, don't ever let those words come out of my mouth, because I'm walking in that much fear. So finally, Aaron now becomes the mouthpiece, and Moses tells Aaron what to say, until Moses gets so fed up with it, God gives him another shot, because that's the good God that we serve, and he has the courage to step in and do what he's called to do. I love that. But so doubt, discouragement, and fear, those are all things that can destroy and devour what God is doing in your life and the seeds that he's planting. And those are all realities that we face and things that we face in this world. We do face doubt sometimes. We do face discouragement from others or even from ourselves, self-discouragement and fear. But you can't become so entangled in that you allow it to choke out and snatch God's seed from your life. Did you have a question? Insecurity. Yeah. And that was a big thing with Moses, because he said, I can't talk right. And you want me to get up and say this in front of the king, like the king of Egypt? I can't talk right, God. And God said, I'm the one who created your mouth. I'll teach you what to say. Just go. But he was so afraid of his inabilities. Lastly, and this is one I know it's 8:07. I know we dismiss at 8:15, but I really, really, really want you guys to grasp this tonight. The last thing I want to point out that can destroy and devour your seed is complacency. Complacency and neglect in tending your seeds. Complacency and neglect in tending your seeds. Being complacent. Apathetic. Kind of, what does apathy mean? That kind of, I don't really care. I'm complacent. I don't really want more. I'm good right where I'm at. I'm good with staying here. But you guys, we have a job to tend the seeds that God is planting in our lives. How do you get complacent? How do you become neglectful? You stop watering your seeds. You stop spending time with God. You stop coming to Sunday service and worshiping and engaging in that with the worship experience. You stop praying and spending that time with Him. You stop reading the Word of God. You stop allowing people you trust to speak into your life and let that iron sharpen iron. You stop letting the right voices pour into you and speak into your life. You stop watering your seeds. You stop pulling out the weeds that steal nutrients from your seeds. That complacency says, let a little bit of weeds grow. Weeds grow a lot faster than the seeds you plant. Now all of a sudden you're letting those doubts, those thoughts of doubt creep in even more. Those thoughts of fear, that worry, those insecurities now are beginning to overwhelm you. Bitterness, just disinterest. I'm just not that interested. Let a little bit of the weeds grow. And now slowly, over time, your soil begins to change because you're not pulling the weeds out that are those thoughts, those doubts that are coming, those fears that are coming. You've lost that hunger and that chase. The weeds are beginning to overtake. And what God had planted as a seed, what began to spring up and grow and was starting to produce some fruit, now it's beginning to wilt and wither, and weeds are beginning to take over. And now it's sin comes in and enters the picture. Now you're going back to the bar again like you said you never do. You're picking up that bad habit like you said you never do. You're watching that TV show again like you said you never do because you got complacent up front. You stop fertilizing your seeds. You stop showing up to grow track. You stop showing up to encounter. You stop going to a group where you're connected in community and other people are sharpening you and helping you. You stop trusting God in a certain area. Maybe you feel disappointed or let down or discouraged by something you think God did in your life. And so now I'm going to reel back my trust in that area. And I'm not going to fertilize that area of the garden anymore with my trust and faith in God. You place your seed in conditions that prevent growth. Like I said, you start hanging out with those friends again that you knew were a bad influence on your life. I'm just gonna go back to the bar on Friday nights now. I'm just gonna go to Bonita and dance. I just want to dance. But eventually, over time, what could that lead to? Putting yourself in a place of compromise. Well, one little weed's not gonna hurt. Well, two? Oh, that's. And over faster than you know, now all of a sudden what was beautiful and what God was doing in the soil of your heart has now become overflooded with weeds because you just got a little complacent at a time, just allowed something little to sneak in once in a while. So those are the three things, or those are the two that we... when you identify what tends to devour and destroy. So the keys that ensure your growth. So we've got being attentive to the condition of your soil. Remember those three keys? Three. Be attentive to the condition of your soil. Identify what tends to devour and destroy. And lastly, consistently protect and nourish your seeds. Well, how do you protect your seeds? Don't let people trample or eat your seeds. Don't let those birds snatch those seeds away. God put those there. Another verse in the Bible says, don't cast your pearls before swine. Don't take something so precious to you and just give it over to somebody who's going to trample all over it. Don't do that. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Spend time in the presence of God, which adds spiritual depth to your soil. Spending time with God in His presence, you're strengthened, you're refreshed, you're connected to Him. He begins to speak to you about your life and your soil and what He wants to do in and through you. Spending time with God, stop worrying and learn to trust God. Trust develops your soil. Trust is like adding fertilizer to that soil. When you can stop worrying about something and say, you know what, God, I trust you with my kids right now. I trust you with them while they're at school. I don't know what's going to happen to them. I don't know with this coronavirus, all this crazy. Lord, I trust you with them. I entrust them into your care because I can't, there's nothing, that's out of your control. Lord, I trust you with this job. Lord, I trust you with this financial situation. God, I trust you with this relationship that I can't fix. I'm going to stop worrying about it and choose to put my trust in you. Right? So stop worrying and learn to trust God and walk in that and keep them in good soil by spending time in prayer in his presence, talking to God. Just prayer is just talking to God the same way you talk to a friend. That's just talking to God. And read and apply God's word to your life. Everything we learned about tonight with the seeds and the soil and the farmer, guess where that came from? Where did it come from? The word of God. Jesus made up the parable, not Timber Creek Church. Those are the words of Jesus. And do you see how we kind of pulled that apart and now you can apply that to your life? But you can do that on your own too. And I want to say this, we have a Bible reading plan in the very back of your manual that's tailor-made for this class. It's tailor-made. We constructed it to go along with each class, and we want you guys to start that this week. And it's just small sections. It's just a little bit at a time. But I'm telling you, if you will get into God's word, he will speak to you through your word, and you'll see that he's planting seeds in your soil. You'll absorb it. You'll be able to identify what God is doing. I love that. But get in the word of God. Apply that. That's how you nourish and protect. I know it's 8:15. I know. There is an activity that we want you guys to do, and I really want you to do it before you leave this classroom. Can we get 5 minutes? Can we get 5 minutes? Can you give me 5 minutes? If not, it's okay. You can go. Raise your hand if you can give me 5 minutes. I'm not going to do the trick where I say 5, 10, 15. It's really going to be 5 minutes. I promise you. Take 5 minutes and answer these questions. Allow God to speak to you. There's 4 questions on Appendix D. So answer those, and I'll pray us out, and we'll be dismissed for the night.
The skies are white, crashing down the renewal to light. Oh, came dancing on an empty grave. Death has lost its road to the King of Grace. Be the crown and the light and sound. Be the fire burning inside out. Be the love passing out of fear. But your name through the atmosphere.
All right, you guys, if you're not finished with that, it'd be a great, great thing to take home and finish in your time with God. I am going to go ahead and pray, and I'll dismiss you after we pray. Father God, Lord, just thank you for another week in here. God, I thank you for every person in this classroom. God, I thank you for their heart to be here, God, their diligence and their faithfulness to show up, Father. As school has kicked back off, God, and life is in full swing, Lord, each individual in here has showed up, God. It's not by chance, God, but they've come wanting to grow, wanting to get connected, wanting to know everything that you have for them. So, God, right now, I pray over those seeds, God, those special dreams and promises and those things that you've planted and you will continue to plant in every heart in the soil here tonight, God. Lord, would you protect those seeds? God, would you ensure that they get down into the soil, God? Would you ensure that roots begin to spring, Father, and what you planted in them comes to fruition? Lord, your word says you are the one who completes your work in us. We don't complete the work you want to do, God, you do. But God, right now, I also just pray over the condition of our hearts tonight. Lord, whatever kind of soil we may have, Lord, if it's that path, if we have a path in our heart, Father, if we have thorns or rocky places in our heart, God, we're not going to try to get those things out and fix them ourselves. God, we're going to say what David said, Father. We're going to say, "Oh Lord, know us thoroughly, because you are the master gardener who helps us with the soil of our hearts, Lord." And we surrender our soil to you tonight, God. We surrender the seeds to you tonight, God. And we believe by faith that you will do what only you can do in and through us in the soil and the seeds, God. And Lord, right now, Father, I ask that you would help every person to identify and know and understand the things that tend to devour and destroy their seed. That whether it's fear or doubt or discouragement or complacency, oh Lord God, would you protect the seeds from those things, God? Would you protect their hearts, Lord, from complacency? And I pray instead you would give them a hunger to chase after you and chase after the things of God, because the word says, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. So, oh Lord God, we pray that we would be hungry and thirsty for you, for righteousness, for the things of your kingdom. We want to seek your kingdom first, Jesus. And God, right now, we just pray, I pray protection, that you would teach us to protect and nourish our seeds. Teach us, God, as some are beginning to spend time with you for the first time, some are picking this up for the first time in a long time, and some are just continuing and expecting you to do great things. Oh, Lord, I pray that we would be a Grow One class with expectancy and faith in the things that you want to do and will do, and that you would teach us to walk this out. You would teach us how to cultivate this relationship with you, with time spent with you. God, would you teach us? Would you strengthen us, Jesus? And every person in here, God, bless them and keep them. I pray that your face would shine upon them. Oh, Lord, be gracious to every person in here, God, and always give them your peace, Lord. Give them your peace as they leave. And, Lord, Holy Spirit, help them to remember this week what they've learned. And protect those seeds. It's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Hey, you guys, real quick, right now, at the tables is the Encounter sign-up sheet. And I want to say this. If you're saying, hey, I think I've got good soil, but I've got some roots in the soil, some things that I can't get past, some obstacles I can't get over, some things in my yesterdays that I haven't settled yet, I want to encourage you to sign up for Encounter. Sign up for Encounter. It's an amazing class. There's sheets on every table, but it starts this Sunday at 6 p.m. right in this room, right in the chapel. Encounter at 6 p.m. I'm sorry you're late. We love you. You are dismissed now.